I want to approach the reflection on today's gospel in this manner, and that's by bringing something to light that I think we are becoming more familiar with in our culture, and especially the media's reporting on this. They did so last May, speaking about the mental health crisis among teens, young people, and especially how social media poses a great risk at this. And they are speaking of this, and actually this is the Surgeon General last year saying, "We're in the middle of a youth mental health crisis, and I'm concerned that social media is contributing to the harm that kids are experiencing." And it says, the report cites several ways in which social media may cause harm to youth mental health, noting that the adolescent years are a particularly vulnerable time for brain development. It details studies that found correlations between social media use and depression and anxiety, as well as poor sleep, online harassment, and low self-esteem, especially among girls. And what's going on here is it involves something that we can get easily caught up in as humans, and that's something called the snare of compare. The snare of compare. What does that mean? Well, let me first say that everything we do is for the sake of happiness. This is Aristotle. This is St. Thomas Aquinas. This makes sense. No one wants to be unhappy. God has not made us like this. We cannot, we are motivated by the desire of happiness. Everything we do is for the sake of happiness. And Father Robert Spitzer, he's a Jesuit, recently put together a very nice little thing on happiness, and he noted in studying like the philosophers of the past and some of the theologians like Thomas Aquinas has come up with like four levels of happiness where we can find happiness in four ways. Like one way is through material or physical happiness, like through pleasure, right? We can have a type of happiness when we eat an ice cream cone. Now, mind you, happiness is when we have our desires satisfied. So, and we all desire what is good. So, an ice cream cone is a good, it's a physical good. It brings me pleasure, I eat it, I feel pleasure, ta-da, I'm happy for a moment. Then it goes. Well, the second level of happiness deals with our own psychological happiness. As we develop and we discover our own goodness, we have a sense of happiness, like with who we are. And sometimes that happiness develops through comparison. I compare myself to other people. And there's a naturalness to that, where I can, go back to your grade school years. We learn how to understand that this person is smarter than I am. This person is a better athlete than I am. Or maybe I'm a better musician than they are. It works both ways. But we discover kind of where we fit in the social construct of things. But through that, we can, let me finish the other levels and I'll go back to the comparison one. But, the third level of happiness is when we learn how to help others, right? To do works of charity, works of mercy to others. And then the ultimate and the deepest form of happiness is when we satisfy our transcendental desires, our desires for the true, the good, the beautiful, which can only happen in God, who is truth itself, goodness itself, beauty itself, right? And so when we satisfy our desires for those things through our communion with God, then we reach the deep, most lasting happiness that we can have. But let's go back to number two, which is this kind of like the comparative game that we can play. A lot of people, it's hard to get beyond that one, because a lot of people can tend to find their own happiness in comparison to another person. And the reason why that is because when you try to find happiness in comparison with somebody else, then you're seeking kind of like an affirmation about yourself. I'm a better athlete than they are, so I'm cool, right? I'm I can hit more threes, I can dunk a ball, I've got moves, I can jack a baseball 400 feet, whatever, you know. So, you know, I'm smart, I'm a 1200 SAT person, whatever, and all of a sudden your value becomes based on your external activity, and you verify that value based on comparison. And so that when you get involved with this comparison game, you're really left with, you have three options, right? If you compare yourself favorably over against somebody else, it leads to what? Pride, right? If you compare yourself unfavorably to somebody else, it leads to envy or jealousy. If you compare yourself in a way that, like, I can never become what they are, you know, I no matter how hard I'm trying, I can't get there, it leads to, like, discouragement. And so you can see where when you're a younger person and you're trying to establish your core identity as a human being, you're trying to discover your value and worth. Again, oftentimes, it's because we're broken, we tend to do this. We go outside of ourselves to find our value and worth based on what we can do, right? It's an external pursuit of something that's interior. And so when you're in that social media environment, and think about, I guess, from our own experience before social media, this is how it was, you know, when you're in school growing up, you know, it's the external, right? Am I good looking? Am I strong? Am I pretty? You know, do I have the right shoes? Do I have the right pants? Am I wearing the cool jacket? Right? These are all the games that we play as adolescents. And now imagine this on a social media experience, right? Because before social media, when you're kind of going through this, it was, you know, you had these experiences, but, you know, it's just kind of like contained within your own little sphere of influence there, and it just kind of happens and it goes away. But think about social media now. With social media, it's out there, like to a whole, you know, it's out there to the social media audience, which is hundreds or even thousands. And when you put your stuff out there, right, you can be accepted, affirmed, yay, you're cool, or rejected, you're stupid, you're ugly, right? And the thing is, it stays there, and everybody sees it and whatever. Or you're just kind of looking at social media, and you see all these posers out there posing for these pictures, and you're like, man, you know, and they act like, and some may present like, I've got all these friends, you know, with these pictures, you see all these, they're smiling and with their friends or whatever, or they're on some vacation with their family or maybe with their friends. And the comparison thing goes again, right? The comparison thing clicks in. I don't have as many friends as they have. I'm not as happy as they are, you know? It happens. And the interesting thing, just to close this, at least on this part here with the social media, with kids, this is harder because their brains are starting to develop. And let me just point this out. This is from the American Psychological Association. They say, between the ages of 10 and 12, changes in the brain make social rewards, compliments on a new hairstyle, laughter from a classmate, start to feel a lot more satisfying. Makes them happy. Specifically, receptors for the happy hormones, oxytocin and dopamine, multiply in a part of the brain called the ventral striatum, making preteens extra sensitive to attention and admiration from others. All right? And anyway, you can see where the whole social media experience creates this instability in a teenager's identity, right? And so why am I saying this? Because at the heart of today's gospel is exactly this reality. It's exactly this reality. Because the Pharisees are posers. They are focused on their everything about them is exterior. Remember, they think they are cool daddies because they see themselves as the standard of all holiness. And Pharisees is the word that means separate. So they strive for this kind of like purity, ritual purity, or this following of the law, which involves like separating themselves from people who aren't pure. Keep them away from me, man. They're not cool. They're not holy. I am, because I follow the law to the T. I'm cool, man. And so they start to, like, if you will, affirm their own themselves. I am holy, they are not. I'm going to be saved, they are not. And so you see it in the prayer. You see it in the prayer. The Pharisees, they are about, like, look at me, look at what I do. Thank God I'm not like them. Thank God I'm not like them. And that's the Pharisees are caught in the snare of compare. But they're caught in the pride aspect. They're like looking at themselves and thinking they're holier than thou, that they're greater than they are. That's what pride is. Pride is overestimating your excellence, overestimating yourself. That's what pride does. And when you're caught up in the comparison game, this is what happens. And so anyway, at the heart of it is, well, let's get now to the tax collector, right? So the tax collector raises his eyes up to heaven and says, all he says is like, and then tax collector recognizes his, like, I don't have it all together. So he raises his eyes to heaven and say, God, I don't have it all together. Be merciful for me, a sinner. I need your help. Right? So what you have here are two people who relate to God in different ways. The Pharisees relate to God in a way that they're basically like, they're kind of like, I don't need you, God. I've achieved holiness on my own effort. And they're kind of affirming themselves. And in that way, they become blinded to the truth of who they are. Whereas the tax collector, they have a humility is truth. They have a more truthful evaluation of themselves. Yeah, I'm a sinner. And God, I need your help. How do we tie all this stuff together? It's this, really, is that, you know, at the core of our being, and again, we need to have a sense of our goodness. And I think this is why it's hard for us to acknowledge our sinfulness. I think that's why it's hard for the Pharisees to acknowledge their own sinfulness so they could be open to Jesus. They did not want to, they found their worth in their exterior observances of the law and what they did, not in the core of who they are. And our own identity as human beings are rooted in two areas. It's being able to discover our own, the goodness that we have as human beings made in God's image, where we recognize our value, that I have an inherent goodness because God has given me life, and it's good to be alive, it's good to be a human being. I have goodness. And that is foundational for our own psychological health. And the reason why a lot of people venture off into this comparison game and this external seeking of attention and affirmation is because oftentimes people aren't grounded in their sense of their own goodness. They're not affirmed in their own being as being good and valued in and of itself. And so if you have like what we call an affirmation wound, you're gonna go outside and seek affirmation. This is what happens with kids. I mean, you know, they go out and they're looking for approval. And part of that's not wrong, right? We need to hear from other people that we're good. But we need to hear not just that our activity is good, but that our very being is good. And that establishes a healthy psychological foundation. And when you have that healthy psychological foundation, then it allows you to rest secure in your own skin, to be comfortable in your own skin, to recognize that I have an inherent goodness, and yeah, I might not look perfectly, I might not play sports perfectly, I might not do school perfectly, but that's okay. I have gifts, I have value as a human being, and I stand on that. And ultimately, it's recognizing not just that, but ultimately it's recognizing that I am a child of God, which is the ultimate core foundation of our very being. That the Father values me. The Father delights in me and how He had created me and how He has created me. Flaws and all, the Father delights in me. So that's like a one area of humble self-knowledge that we need to have. The other area of self-knowledge that we need to have is the fact that I commit sins. I offend God. You know, a big part of our struggle in this world today is a loss of a sense of sin, right? The Pharisees had no sense of their own. I don't think they had a sense of their own inherent worth. And obviously, in their pride, they had no sense of their own brokenness and sinfulness because of their own inner insecurity. One of those is a speculation on my part. The other one is a fact. They weren't aware of their own sinfulness because they didn't want to be, because their value was locked up in this, I'm a Pharisee, you know, like, look at me. I can avoid eating certain foods, whatever. So anyway, the tax collector, however, recognized, especially the second part, I don't have it all together. And I'll end with this, but like, the reason why that, you know, we avoid sin and recognizing our own sinfulness and therefore lose our sense of sin, and you see this again in the culture a lot, in the media, is because sin brings shame or guilt. And we don't, number one, we don't like to feel that. And number two, sometimes an unhealthy sense of sin could lead to, like, I'm a bad person, right? So in other words, we don't know how to deal with our own sinfulness. Because sin, in one sense, tears us down and it can make us feel like, you know, shame has to do with I'm bad. Guilt has to do with I've done something bad. Shame has to do with I am bad, like in the core of my being, which goes against the very nature of how God made us. But most importantly, and how we overcome this is, and this is the beauty of God, and this is why we have this shrine and why God, you know, reveals Himself in Scripture that He's merciful, and why He appeared privately to St. Faustina to remind us that how merciful He is, that God loves us in and through our sinfulness. Meaning God doesn't reject us because we are sinners. God wants to enter into those sins, forgive them, and heal them so we can be raised up and become the people that He's made us, to become the disciples that He's made us to be. And this is what I think the tax collector understood, right? He recognized that, number one, his own insufficiencies, his own mistakes, and his therefore his need for God. The Pharisees, on the other hand, were full of themselves, and therefore they didn't think they needed God, at least implicitly. And so anyway, I just wanted to kind of expound on this in this manner, because I think that this is at the core of our struggle as human beings in this day and age, right? Both those areas. We struggle with understanding that we are sinners, to be able to acknowledge, you know, I commit sin, and this is a sin. You know, the culture applauds sin, and they applaud it because they don't want to call it out as a sin, because they don't want to make people feel bad. Well, sometimes we need to feel bad because we've done bad, meaning we need to feel the guilt and a little bit of shame, right? But we recognize, again, the mercy of God that wants to come and help to forgive us. And the other part is recognizing that our core identity is as a human being given the gift of life by God that is inherently good, and that we have this call to being a child of God through grace. And that is the core of our value. And so I think that if we're able to kind of live out those areas better in our life, if you will, by God's grace, it will allow us to stand more secure in the truth of who we are, to be comfortable, if you will, in our own skin. And therefore, when you're comfortable and you're secure, then you can move forward and perform according to how God has gifted you. But when you're caught up in a sense of insecurity and, you know, you're not, if you will, affirmed in the goodness of who you are, then it's harder. And this is where, you know, you can get caught up in this comparison game, this snare of compare. And it's hard to get out of it. So anyway, may the Lord, in his mercy, help us to recognize the truth of who we are, our own goodness, and especially that he will help us to recognize his goodness, and that nothing can separate us from his love. Nothing can. And that's a beautiful thing. And that's where we find our strength and our capacity to live well in this life.
Are you a Marian helper? Join our Spiritual Benefit Society and start sharing in the graces of all the daily masses, prayers, and good works of Marian priests and brothers all over the world. Sign up is free and easy. Simply visit micprayers.org. That's micprayers.org. Thank you, and God bless you. Please follow or subscribe to this podcast to receive the latest episodes and updates. If you have been blessed by this podcast, I invite you to leave a review. Reviews greatly improve our podcast ranking and will help spread this podcast to other people throughout the world. Are you enjoying this podcast? I invite you to listen to more shows brought to you by the Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception. Join us daily for enriching spiritual content, which will help you on your journey with Jesus Christ. Simply visit DivineMercyPlus.org for a complete list of our shows. That's DivineMercyPlus.org. Are you a Marian helper? Join our Spiritual Benefit Society and start sharing in the graces of all the daily masses, prayers, and good works of Marian priests and brothers all over the world. Sign up is free and easy. Simply visit micprayers.org. That's micprayers.org. Thank you, and God bless you.